拜登公布美国临时战略方针。美国务卿将美中关系列为外交优先之一。美国与盟友合作向亚洲分发新冠疫苗。
3月4号星期四，欢迎收看美国观察，我是卡拉。拜登总统在3月3号下午公布了美国的临时战略方针，国务卿布林肯发表外交政策重要讲话，阐述这份方针当中外交政策的部分。此外，德克萨斯州长宣布取消戴口罩的命令，并且全面开放商业活动。对此，美国公共卫生官员表示，现在还不是开放的时机。下面请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅做详细的介绍。耀毅。
是，就在美国时间的3月3号的星期三呢，这个白宫的国安会就宣布了这一份我手上的这一份拜登政府的临时国家安全战略方针。那么在这个当中呢，包括了美国本身的国安，还有这个外交政策方面的指导方针。那么在白宫发出来的这个指导方针的新闻稿当中呢，他特别说，拜登总统这个与世界接触时候的愿景呢，都写在这一份报告书当中，而且呢，也要为美国政府的各个部门提供国安的战略方针。那么在这个这份战略的这个前言当中呢，拜登总统就特别点出来了，他说呢，现在美国在国际上面临到了世界各国的国主主义的高涨，还有民主倒退，也包括了来自中国、俄罗斯以及其他集权国家越来越强的敌对。那么在这份的这个白宫国安会的战略方针当中呢，说包含两个部分，一个是全球安全的部分，一个是美国国家安全的部分。那么呢，这个美国国务卿布林肯在今天的上午呢，就针对这个报告书当中的这个外交政策的部分呢，做了详细的说明。我们来看一下美国国务卿布林肯今天是怎么说的。
China is the only country with the economic, diplomatic, military, and technological power to seriously challenge the stable and open international system.All the rules, values, and relationships that make the world work the way we want it to, because it ultimately serves the interests and reflects the values of the American people. Our relationship with China will be competitive when it should be, collaborative when it can be, and adversarial when it must be. The common denominator is the need to engage China from a position of strength. That requires working with allies and partners, not denigrating them.Because our combined weight is much harder for China to ignore. It requires engaging in diplomacy and in international organizations, because where we've pulled back, China has filled in. It requires standing up for our values when human rights are abused in Xinjiang or when democracy is trampled in Hong Kong, because if we don't, China will act with even greater impunity. And it means investing in American workers, companies, and technologies, and insisting on a level playing field.Because when we do, we can outcompete anyone.
那么在这一份白宫国安会发出的这个战略书当中呢，拜登总统也说，他说呢，这份这个战略的议程将可以来增强我们美国本身自己的优势，并且让我们在与像中国这样子的国家竞争的时候呢，能够保持这个战略竞争的优势，并且胜出。那么所以我们可以看得出来呢，这份白宫国安会今天刚刚发表的这个拜登总统的临时国家安全战略方针当中呢，的确把中国放在一个非常重要的部分。那么除了这个之外呢，我们知道美国的新冠疫情呢，也是拜登总统施政的一个首先要务之一。那么就在星期二的时候呢，新冠疫情方面有一些新的进展，包括这个新冠疫苗有好消息，是这个强生公司与默克药厂来合作生产新冠疫苗。那么呢，拜登总统也说呢，美国到这个5月底之前呢，将可以提供足够给每一位成年美国人来接种的疫苗数量。不过呢，与此同时，看到星期二的晚上，德州以及密西西比州呢，则是做出了防疫政策的改变。首先呢，是德州的州长阿伯特，他在推特上宣布，我刚才宣布了德州100%开放全方位，我同时也终止了全州戴口罩的强制要求。那么之后呢，密西西比州的州长雷夫斯也宣布了相同的政策。我们知道拜登在上任的时候他就说过了，他希望在他就任100天之内呢，要鼓励民众都能够戴口罩，因为呢，依照这个科学的根据跟研究 就显示呢，这样子可以有效的预防病毒的扩散，然后来控制并且打败这个疫情。不过呢，关于这个德州以及密西西比州，现在呢已经做出了要来放松防疫措施的规定。拜登总统星期三的下午在椭圆形办公室当中表示，这样的做法是个大错误。我们来看一下拜登总统今天在白宫当中是怎么说的。所以拜登总统说呢，我觉得那是个，我说那是个大错误。他说呢，现在应该每个人都已经了解了，这些口罩是有作用的。那么目前呢，现在美国已经处于这个扭转疫情上面的转捩点。那么现在呢，最不需要的就是那种陈旧僵化的思维，认为此时已经万事太平，就拿下了口罩。拜登总统特别提到了，到昨天为止呢，已经有51,874名的美国人死于新冠病毒，而且接下来还会有数以千计的人因此而死亡，绝对不能够掉以轻心。那拜登总统接着连续说三次，说勤洗手、戴口罩、保持社交距离非常的重要。他并且说呢，美国民众已经懂得这个道理，那么一些的民选官员呢也能够懂得。那么针对德州跟密西西比州呢，已经出现了变种病毒，但是他的州长却决定全面开放，而且不戴口罩呢。星期三上午在白宫的这个新冠工作小组的这个简报会上呢，CDC 的这个主任也被问到了相同的问题，说是否会担心违反 CDC 的规定对疫情产生影响。对此呢，美国疾病管理预防中心 CDC 主任瓦兰斯基医生就表示呢，现在并非全面开放防疫措施的好时机。我们看一下 CDC 的主任今天是怎么说的。
I think we at the CDC have been very clear that now is not the time to release all restrictions. I do think that, as I said in my remarks, the next month or two is really pivotal in terms of how this pandemic goes. As we scale up vaccination, we really do need to decrease the amount of virus that is circulating as we're trying to vaccinate all of the public. I will also note that, you know,Every individual is empowered to do the right thing here, regardless of what the states decide for personal health, for public health, for their health of their loved ones and communities. I would still encourage individuals to wear a mask, to socially distance, and to do the right thing to protect their own health.
而美国第一夫人呢，吉尔拜登以及刚刚这个任命接受这个听证结束的这个美国教育部长卡多纳呢，只是在星期三一同前往了康涅狄克州以及宾夕法尼亚州的公立学校参观，并且呢与当地的家长来进行聆听的这样的会议，听听家长们的意见，那么来确定呢说在包括提供疫苗给教职员方面呢，能够让学校安全的开放，让当地的老师跟学生们都能够安全的重新回到学校上课。卡拉，
好的，感谢耀毅的详细报道。美国德克萨斯州长星期二宣布，下周开始在全州范围取消口罩强制令。他同时宣布将取消对餐馆等企业施加的新冠限制措施，允许该州的企业全面开放和运营。德州民众对此看法不一，来看报道。
德州州长阿伯特星期二说，和去年三月相比，德州的疫情出现了很大的变化。
Back then, hardly any Texan knew what PPE was. Now we have an abundance of it. Early on, there were no COVID tests. Now we have the ability to do well over 100,000 COVID tests per day. We now have vaccines to protect.Texans from COVID.
阿伯特还宣布，从3月10号开始，德州将取消为餐馆室内用餐客人数量设定上限的做法。
Effective next Wednesday, all businesses of any type are allowed to open 100%. That includes any type of entity in Texas.
德州近来的新冠病毒确诊和死亡人数不断下降，住院率也处在去年十月以来的最低水平。本月初，德州七天平均确诊人数从二月中旬的10,000人降至7,600人。德州居民对于州长的决定褒贬不一。
I think the announcement is fantastic. I mean, let people make their own decisions. It doesn't need to be mandated. You know, it's not a kind of nanny state kind of thing. And governor is not my mom, you know. We're adults. We're all going to make our own decisions.
I just believe that we haven't reached a level where it's safe to let down our guard just yet. And we still need to have more people vaccinated and fewer people in the hospitals before it will be safe to do so.
在德州宣布取消口罩强制令之后，密西西比州州长李维斯也表示，该州将在近期做出类似的决定，而加州州长纽森则对此提出批评。此前有卫生专家警告说，美国的疫情远未结束，毒株变异的威胁仍然存在，如果过早放松限制措施，有可能会导致疫情出现反弹。美国之音电视新闻。
美国国务院发言人内德·普莱斯在新闻简报会上谴责近日缅甸军方对和平示威群众的血腥镇压。联合国秘书长缅甸事务特使克里斯汀·伯格纳周三指出，至少38人在当日的缅甸抗议活动中丧生，自政变以来已经有超过50人死亡。
We are appalled and revulsed to see the horrific violence perpetrated against the people of Burma for their peaceful calls to restoreCivilian governance. We call on all countries to speak with one voice to condemn brutal violence by the Burmese military against its own people and to promote accountability for the military's actions that have led to the life, loss of life of so many people in Burma. So with that,
普莱斯还表示，已经就缅甸局势同中国多层级的官员进行讨论，并再次呼吁北京在恢复缅甸民选政府的过程中扮演建设性角色。
Well, we have had a number of engagements with the Chinese. Of course, Secretary Blinken has taken part in a call with Director Yang that we have read out. There have been other engagements with the Chinese at various levels. The message we have sent to them has been pretty simple, in fact. It is that we are looking for China to play a constructive role in the restoration of civilian-led government in Burma.
美国国会正在起草一项跨党派的重大立法，提供资金给关键供应链产业，降低对中国的依赖，在部分领域与中国有针对性的脱钩。参议院多数党领袖舒默称，法案将协助美国在所有重要领域击败中国。来看美国之音记者李毅华、钟瑞哲发自华盛顿的报道。
美国总统拜登二月底签署行政命令，指示各个部门机构对美国的大容量电池、药品、稀土矿物和半导体芯片的供应链展开为期100天的全面评估。为响应白宫的政策，美国国会参议院多数党领袖舒默宣布，各相关委员会两党领袖将合作起草立法，为供应链相关产业提供资金。
It will take the key cutting industriesand make American investments so we will outcompete China in all of that. I want this bill to address America's short-term and long-term plan to protect the semiconductor supply chain and to keep us number one in things like AI, 5G, quantum computing, biomedical research, storage. We cannot rely on foreign processors for the chips. We cannot let China get ahead of us in chip production.
法案细节尚未公布，主导新法案的印第安纳州共和党联邦参议员托德扬称，法案最终内容目前还在讨论。
My office is working with Senator Schumer's office, and members of the administration, and many of my Republican colleagues to try and incorporate some supply chain resiliency policies into the Endless Frontier Act. But we think we have the opportunity to earn broad bipartisan support.For this legislation that is designed to counter China's malign behaviors.
参议院外交委员会主席梅嫩德斯参议员也证实，多个参议院委员会两党领袖都参与了有关协商。
On the broad issue of China, supply chain is one element of it, but we are looking on the broader issue of how do we both compete.With China and how do we confront China when that is the appropriate thing to do. And so each committee of jurisdiction is working with their Republican counterparts to see what's the universe that can be agreed upon, that could be bipartisan, so that could be put out, and then we would go from there.
It's to determine what's national security related, like pharmaceuticals, rare earth minerals, semiconductor chips, and decouple that. And they'll also try to move some of what's in Taiwan and South Korea either to the United States or a safer allied nation, working with those nations, obviously.
这项跨党派的重大立法措施预计将在近期推出。舒默已经表示，他计划以快速审议程序的方式推进这项法案。法案最快有望在今年春天就获得参议院的表决。美国之音记者李一华、钟瑞哲、国会山采访报道。
美国正与日本、印度和澳大利亚合作，制定向亚洲国家分发新冠疫苗的计划，以对抗中国的影响力。根据英国金融时报星期三报道，知情人士透露说，白宫最近几周与四方会谈成员就采取一系列对抗中国的措施进行磋商，其中包括向全球提供疫苗援助。报道说，知情人士称，正在制定的战略不只关于新冠疫苗，四方会谈还探讨了如何加强海上合作，以及在网络安全等领域做更多的工作。知情人士表示，拜登政府正将四方会谈作为其亚洲政策中的核心动力。美军印太司令部情报处处长、海军少将史达曼星期二对来自中国的威胁发出警告。史达曼将军说，基于在香港和台湾的发展，中国在如何寻求维护自己的主宰地位的问题上已经确立了一个明确的模式，基本上就是对自由的扼杀、自治的死亡。施达曼说，人们知道了由中国领导或深受中国影响意味着什么。他说，北京越来越有信心地在远离本土的地方展示军事实力。中国全球化、远征性的军队会在任何他们认为中国利益受到威胁的地方介入。美国微软公司表示，一个中国政府支持的黑客组织利用安全漏洞，对微软的一个主要面向商家和机构的电子邮件系统实施了网络盗窃行动，窃取了用户的电邮信息和数据。微软公司说，名为 Hafnium 的中国黑客组织主要瞄准美国的多个重要行业，包括传染病研究机构、法律事务所、高校、国防承包商、智库和非政府组织，窃取他们的信息。通告说，最近这个黑客组织利用此前未被发现的漏洞，对微软 Exchange 电邮服务器实施了多次攻击。拜登政府行政管理和预算局长的提名人尼拉·坦登周二宣布退出提名。坦登此前曾在推特上发布对于两党的批评言论，遭到包括民主党参议员的反对。另一方面，米格尔·卡多纳宣誓就任美国教育部长。美国证券交易委员会主席的提名人加里·根斯勒目前也在接受国会的质询。来看美国之音的报道。
拜登政府美国行政管理和预算局局长提名人尼拉·坦登周二致信拜登总统，宣布退出该职位的提名。白宫随即发表声明接受尼拉·坦登的请求，并表示将任用其担任其他政府职务。尼拉·坦登是美国印第安人原住民后裔，曾在克林顿政府和奥巴马政府任职。2020年11月30日，拜登宣布提名尼拉·坦登担任美国行政管理和预算局局长。
Now it is my profound honor to help shape those budgets and programs to keep lifting Americans up, to pull families back from the brink, to give everybody the fair chance my mom got.
坦登此前曾在推特上发表对民主共和两党的批评言论，在获得提名后，他删除了超过1000条推文，但仍受到关于他能否实现跨党派合作的质疑。他在今年二月初参加国会听证时，对自己以往的言论表示了道歉。
I do think the last several years have been very polarizing, and I apologize for my language that has contributed to that. I would also say that in previous times, I've worked across the aisle on issues like support of the transatlantic relationship, immigration, support for small businesses.
尼拉·坦登的提名没有获得参议院超过半数的支持，也由此成为拜登政府首个未能顺利通过的提名人。目前，在23个需要国会确认的高级内阁成员中，已有11人获得了确认。 这其中也包括刚刚宣誓就职的教育部长米格尔·卡多纳。
And that I will well and faithfully discharge
the duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
Upon which I am about to enter.
Upon which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
卡多纳曾在公立小学工作，在就任前担任康涅狄格州的教育专员。他在新冠疫情期间因努力推进康涅狄格州学校重新开放而受到关注。他出任教育部长也将促进拜登政府重开学校的努力。同时，拜登政府美国证券交易委员会主席的提名人加里·根斯勒目前也在接受国会的质询。美国之音新闻报道。
自新冠疫情爆发以来，中国政府进一步升级数字监控，利用新兴的健康码程序遍布全国的天网摄像头以及人脸识别等技术，使得公民时刻处于全息监控之下。不过德国记者马凯认为，中国共产党的目标还不止于此。他的新书《我们被和谐了》指出，中共正在实现独裁者的最终梦想，创造自我审查的和谐新公民。他们不仅自我约束，还引以为豪，甚至自觉充当威权主义的工具。
Where the Chinese propaganda, Communist Party propaganda, has been very successful, as of lately at least, is that the whole coronavirus thing, actually, they managed to make it feed into their narrative, that they are actually the superior system. So this is another example of actually propaganda really working very well, and censorship and propaganda actually doing their job, which nobody would have believed possible, I guess, in January or February last year. I mean, I've spoken to some of my friends in China, and especially they tell me, like about their parents, the elder generation, they were very willingly every morning typing their own information into the health code app, and everybody was really actually very eager to go along with it. And of course, as it is the case with so many of these things in China, it's not accompanied by a sort of critical discussion. And so people just don't know about the drawbacks of all this. For example, the health code app was reverse engineered by the New York Times, and they found it's actually sending information from your iPhone. You know, it's like a spyware app. It's a spying app, and it sends all kinds of information from your iPhone or your Android phone to the authorities. And people in China, most people don't know that. And so, it's been a gift for the security apparatus.
Yeah, I would say, you know, if you were a authoritarian regime interested in getting your population to grow accustomed to being surveilled all the time, you probably couldn't imagine a better strategy than to have a pandemic, right? It's going to, you suddenly have the authority and the kind of the reason to implement mass surveillance at scale and be able to do it under the guise of public health. We've seen a lot of innovation by the Chinese authorities and how they kind of implement these surveillance strategies. Many of them are for public health. They've also done a lot of experimentation, and they've learned a lot about how best to do kind of different surveillance regimes at local levels. My fear going forward is less any one particular technology that they've developed during COVID, and more just the fact that they've normalized the idea that you could be permanently under surveillance at all times.
Trying to do is again they are trying to build a new man. This is something that Lenin and Mao Zedong were already trying to do. It's like the perfect human being that fits 100% harmoniously into our harmonious society, into the harmonious socialist society, like the obedient citizen, the diligent worker. Once you have become that yourself, we don't even have to interfere anymore because you are doing actually our work. It helps with the high-tech surveillance, so it helps in the whole scheme of the things of the Chinese government, which is using all this high-tech surveillance, including artificial intelligence applications, big data applications, to actually not only make their surveillance more perfect, but make it more perfect in the sense that they're trying to internalize control. They want to have people aware that they might be controlled all the time, so they better self-censor and do the control themselves. Because once you are at that stage, if you are your own policeman in the end, you don't need the policeman at the corners.
I see hope, but I'm a little bit worried it's going to get worse to begin with, because it's just these technologies are actually fairly immature and they're already still really pervasive and really powerful. And the tech, like AI, for example, is only going to get better and better. There's other technologies that you kind of invent them once and then they stay the same. Unfortunately, with AI, it gets exponentially better over time. And so it actually provides a regime like the Xi regime new and better capabilities over time.
以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次再见。